Morning.
So, Dad has very graciously given me the opportunity to speak this morning, and I've been really looking forward to this. So, today I'd like to talk about value. So, we're going to be reading out of Matthew 13, 44. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew 13, 44. And we're just going to read the one verse. So, Matthew 13, 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. So, when I was little, one of my all-time favorite things was finding money on the ground. I used to get so excited anytime I found a nickel, quarter, it didn't matter. You know, one time I found a dollar and I thought I was set for life. I was a rich man at that point. That's how my six-year-old brain processed money. And this guy, he pretty much gets the ultimate experience of that, right? He finds a treasure in a field. He finds something of extraordinary value, and he goes and sells all that he has to buy that field. And recently I was reading this, and I was struck by the fact that no one else would have known there was a treasure in this field. Right? No one else would have known. He would have kept this very quiet because he didn't want someone to go and steal the treasure. He didn't want someone to buy the field before he could. So all of this was very hush-hush. And if you think about this story from the perspective of someone watching, right? If you don't know there's a treasure in the field, suddenly this guy looks crazy. Right? He looks out of his mind. I mean, can you imagine the day he came home, burst into his house and says to his wife, sell everything. Sell everything. The house, the boat, the cars, the kids. No, not the kids. We need to keep the kids. Everything else, though. And she's going, why? Why? We love this house. I just got the furniture arranged the way I like it. Why do we have to sell everything? And he goes, because I'm going to buy a field. I mean, that probably didn't go over very well, you know? And I can picture his friends, like the people that knew him. And his, you know, the people that were kind of hung out with him, kind of running into one another. And going, hey, did you hear about Jim? Yeah, I know. I mean, I thought he was a pretty bright guy, but now he's not exactly eating crayons, you know, but he's selling everything to buy this dumb field. Now, my question to you today is, was he crazy? No. No, of course not. There was a treasure in that field. There was something in that field that was worth more than all he had. It was more valuable than everything he possessed. And that is how people make decisions. It's a value system. If I offer you a really nice pair of shoes, all right, or the empty box they came in, your choice, the shoes make more sense, right? But if that empty box is made out of pure gold and has diamonds and rubies set in it and all this stuff, that's going to make you rethink your decision. It's a question of value. Now, let's say for a moment that you're a single person, all right? When you meet someone and decide to get married, how do you pick that person to spend your life with? How do you pick that person to marry and let them rule your life, essentially? All right? To a large degree. How do you make that choice? All right, let's say you're a girl, all right, and you meet a guy who's very strong. All right, he's really strong. He's got massive arms. He's got a 13-pack, all right? When he eats ice cream, he loses weight, okay? He's very powerful. Very powerful. Does that attribute give him the right to rule your life? No. No, of course not. What if you meet a girl, let's say you're a guy and you meet a girl who really likes you, All right, she really likes you. You get like 20 Facebook notifications a day. You get 50 Instagram likes from pictures that are over 2 years old. She really likes you. All right, she really likes you. Does that give her the right to rule your life? No. What if you meet someone who knows everything about you? All right, they know all your likes, your dislikes. They know stuff about you you haven't even figured out about yourself yet. All right? They completely understand you. They completely understand you. They know how you're feeling all the time. Does that give them the right to rule your life? No. What if the person loves you? What if, now let's change this metaphor a little bit. What if the person made you? All right, you're Frankenstein's monster for a moment here. They kind of put you together. They made you. Does that give them the right to rule your life? No. What if the person died for you? Does that give them the right to rule your life? No. All those things are good. Right? It's great to find someone who loves you, who understands you, who knows you well. But those aren't reasons to let someone rule your life. Those aren't reasons to give your life to someone. No. It's the value of the other person, who they are, not some set of attributes they have. That is why you give your life to someone. When my parents got married, right, they exchanged vows. And my dad did not say, I now take this woman to be my personal dishwasher. No. My mom did not say, I now take this man to be my personal car mechanic. No. Those are attributes they both possessed. They're good things, right? But that's not why they got married. It was the value of the other person. And it's the same with Christ. We follow, we serve Christ, not for something he can do, not because of an attribute he has, but because of who he is. Because he is a person is worth more than anything else. All of these things are true about God, right? He does love us. He does know us. He did make us. He did die for us. And we desperately need those things working in our lives. We desperately need those attributes. But the fact of the matter is, that's not the root reason why we serve, love, and worship him. He could have done none of those things, and he'd still be worthy of our praise, because he as a person is more valuable than anything else. And when you see Christ, everything else becomes secondary. Nothing else matters after that. You're willing to give everything you have. You're willing to give your life completely to him. Joyfully. Joyfully. You'll notice this guy was joyfully selling his stuff, right? He wasn't moping around the house going, oh, you know, I love this chair. I don't want to sell this chair. No, he was saying, hey, I just sold that chair for $50. That means I'm $50 closer to buying that field. It wasn't drudgery. It was joy. He had found something that was worth more than all he had. And that theme goes through the entire Bible. Whenever you see someone catch a glimpse of Jesus, whenever you see someone see Christ, they leave everything. They're willing to give up everything to follow him. Peter and John left their nets, their entire livelihood to follow Christ. If you think about it, all the disciples actually left what they had to follow Jesus at two words. Just two words. He said, follow me. And they left everything. And that's always amazed me. Jesus could have shown up with like the best light show, dancing angels, smoke, laser beams, and gone, hey, how you doing? I'm the Messiah. I know. No, he just said two words. Follow me. And they leapt to follow him. They dropped everything. Now, was that hypnosis? Was that mind control? No. They saw the value. Simeon actually held Jesus as a baby in the temple, and he went, cool, I can die now. I'm set. There's nothing on this earth that could compare to this moment right here. the woman who poured perfume on Jesus' head, right? The people said, why did she waste all of that perfume? She could have sold it and given it to the poor, right? She could have done some seriously good Christian things with that money. But she saw the value. And, you know, I read that one time, and I don't know anything about perfume, okay? So I read that, and I was like, okay, she poured some perfume on his head. Great. So I started researching it, and the perfume she used was called nard. Now, again, I don't know anything about perfume, but if I were marketing a product, probably would have gone with a different name. Nard, like, what are you wearing tonight? Nard, actually, really, it smells good. Doesn't really fly for me personally, but apparently a lot of people did like it because it was valued at about $4,500 an ounce. $4,500 an ounce. And they estimate that she used about a pound of the stuff on Jesus. Now that works out to about $54,000 worth of perfume. And at that time, that was a life savings. That was everything she had. That was what she had amassed over her lifetime to use at her own funeral, her own burial. And you'll notice the people were upset not only at the cost of the perfume, but the amount she used. Right? Because she could have just used a little bit. Just used a little bit and sold the rest. I mean, 1 ounce is $4,500. As far as gifts go, that's a pretty good one. She could have just used a little bit. She could have used half the bottle. Even that's a much more economical, practical way of going about things, right? But she saw the value. A little bit wasn't enough. Half the bottle wasn't enough. The only thing that would satisfy her love for Christ was all of it. The only thing that would satisfy her heart was the whole thing, till there wasn't a drop left. And today I want to ask you, where is your treasure? What is your treasure in? What is your value in? Is it in other people? What other people think of you? Is it in your own rights as an individual? See, our world puts value on all the wrong stuff, right? Wealth, prestige, education, houses, cars, boats, you name it. And there's nothing wrong with things, okay? I want to make that clear. I'm not telling you to go home and sell everything you have. What I'm saying is all of that stuff is temporary. All of that stuff fades away. But our relationship with Christ, the things we do for Him on this earth, our pursuit of Him, that's eternal. It's everlasting. You know, one of my favorite quotes by C.S. Lewis is that man so often chases pleasure and never pursues joy. Never chases the thing that actually matters, the thing that actually satisfies. And it's so easy to make Christ this little object that orbits our lives, right? He's there. He's kind of in our general vicinity. But we are the center of our universe. And everything revolves around us. But the fact of the matter is, Christ is the center of everything. And everything revolves around Him, whether we acknowledge it or not. And our lives as Christians should have one central theme, and that is Christ. Christ, you know, the most valuable person in the universe who saw us as a treasure in a field. And gave everything to obtain us. God thought we were so valuable, He gave everything to get us. And because of His heart, because of who He is, because of His innate value, we should do the exact same back to Him. All that we are, not a little bit, not half, but everything, till there isn't a drop left. So I encourage you today to make Christ the most valuable person in your life, the most precious relationship in your life, the thing that is worth more than everything else, the thing that's more valuable than everything else. Because if you do that, your life will never be the same. this man's life, after they finally bought the field and put the barbed wire around it and dug up all the treasure, right? His life was never the same after that. His family's life was never the same after that. They weren't moping about the stuff they had to sell, right? They were trying to pick out which city block they'd like to buy. It was a radical shift in their lives. And our world today needs to see a church whose value is not defined by this present world. It's defined by Christ, where Christ is the center of everything. That's what our world needs to see. Have you noticed how the value of things is dropping? Stuff doesn't satisfy. The value of life is dropping like crazy. And what people need to see is a church who values something more than themselves, who are completely and totally sold out for Christ. And if you do that, if you make Christ the center of your universe, you might have some people think you're crazy, right? You might have some people run into one another and go, hey, did you hear about Jim? But are you crazy? No. You found something that's worth more than anything else. So let's bow our heads today. Lord, we want you to be the center of our universe. We want you to be the person who matters more than anything else. We ask, Lord, today that you would reset our value system, that we would place you at the top. And everything else, our opinions, our rights, our things, everything else below you. And we ask that you would enable us to touch every person we come in contact with, that the fragrance of you would be spread all over because we have given everything to you. In Jesus' name, amen.